الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقال الإمام ابن ماجه رحمه الله تعالى في حديث عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا تمنعوا إماء الله أن يصلينا في المسجد. فقال ابن له: إنا لنمنعهن. فقال فغضب غضبا شديدا وقال: أحدثك عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وتقول إنا لنمنعهن؟ أخرجه البخاري. إمام ابن ماجه رحمه الله تعالى he said in this narration from Ibn Umar that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, do not stop or prevent the females, ibad, the slaves or the female slaves from praying in the masjid. A son of his said, we will indeed prevent them. لَنَمْنَعُهُنْ We will indeed prevent them. He, رضي الله تعالى, يعني Abdullah ibn Umar, he got very angry and said, I'm telling you a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you say, Inna lanamna'uhun, we will indeed for sure prevent them. Yani, he was saying this, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, angry with his son for regarding that affair. As for the second hadith, an Abdullah ibn Mughafil, أنه كان جالسا إلى جنبه ابن أخ له فخذف فنهاه وقال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عنها وقال إنها لا تصيد صيدا ولا تنكي عدوا وإنها تكسر السن وتفقأ العين. قال فعاد ابن أخيه يخذف فقال أحدثك أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عنها ثم عدت تخذف لا أكلمك أبدا لا أكلمك أبدا. In this second narration in the Muqaddama of the Sunan of Ibn Majah rahimahullah ta'ala, he brings a narration of Abdullah ibn Mughafil where he radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said he was sitting, or a nephew of his was sitting beside him, and the nephew hurled or threw a pebble, a stone, little stone. And he, Abdullah ibn Mughaffar, said to him, or told him not to do that, and said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, forbade that. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam in that said, it cannot be used for hunting. لا تصيد صيدا. It cannot be used for hunting. ولا تنكي عدوا. And it cannot harm an enemy. وإنها تكسر السن وتفقه العين. But it just breaks the teeth or puts the eyes out. And he said, his nephew hurled another pebble, threw another pebble after Abdullah ibn Mughaffar mentioned that to him. So Abdullah ibn Mughaffar said, "Uhadithuka," and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha anha. I narrate to you, I'm telling you that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade that, and you still threw the pebble. La ukallimuka abada. I will never speak to you again. لا أكلمك أبدا. Again,
these two narrations here that Ibn Majah rahimahullah ta'ala, he has put in his Muqaddimah, and this is under the chapter Ta'zeem wa Hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa taghlithu ala man a'radah, and that is venerating the narrations and the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and being heart firm and stern with those who oppose it. And Imam Ibn Majah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned these two narrations because of the emphatic nature of these narrations. And as it relates to these narrations, we're going to mention a few benefits. Inshallah ta'ala. Al-fa'idatul ula, or amr al-awwal, the first affair that we're going to talk about or mention, is Ismul Ibn, the son of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And the ulama have mentioned different names on who of which son it was, but that which is authentic is that the son was Bilal. His name is Bilal ibn Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab. This is the son in the first narration where Abdullah ibn Umar told him regarding not preventing the women from going to the masjid. The son that he rebuked was Bilal. His name was Bilal. نقطة الثانية هو أمر الثاني منقبة من مناقب عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى. This is the virtue and the virtues and of a high station as it relates to عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى. In that he was firm regarding the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam as it relates to those who opposed in the apparent that which he sallallahu alaihi wasallam had commanded or prohibited. And this shows the high station of Abdullah ibn Umar, the muhaddith, illustrious companion from the Abadila, the younger companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he was very firm and stuck, was strict as it relates to the sunnah and adherence to the sunnah. The third is a dalil al-adam mani' al-nisa fi al-dhahab ila al-masjid. And in this hadith is a proof that shows the prohibition of preventing the women from going to the masajid. This hadith is a proof regarding its prohibition. And that which is some of the ulama have mentioned is the exception to this, and from them is Al-Alama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. He said that rahimahullah, that the only situation in which this prevention could occur is if there is fit tariq, some other that could occur or happen to the woman, some harm that can happen to the woman. So in this situation, in this case, it is therefore the wali or the one in charge of that woman or girl and so forth can stop her from going to the masjid if there is going to be any harm or fitna. If there's going to be number one harm, yani somebody's going to do itida, attack her, and it's a fear that this could happen, then this hadith does not apply here. And also, if there is fitan fi tariq, and it's an area where there's a lot of fitan and trials that could affect the istiqama and the deen of the woman and her well-being and so forth religiously, then it is permissible in this regard to stop them from going to the masjid based upon the balancing of the musalih and the mafasid, balancing the benefits and the harm. النقطة الرابعة أن يدل أن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه كان شديدا على قريبه حين أظهر مخالفة السنة. And that is that Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنه, this is a benefit that we can take from this, is that he was very firm and stern against his family member. We're not talking about a stranger. This is his qareeb. This is his son. This is his beloved son. But yet he, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, was firm against him, or firm towards him, because of his opposition, in apparent opposition to the statement of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this, ya ikhwati al-kiram, shows the wala wa barah and the hub of the sunnah of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is instilled in the hearts of the companions of the Messenger, radiyallahu anhum, And likewise, it shows the ghira and the jealousy that they have for the sunnah, and which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised them, Allah has commended them, and told us to follow their way. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned the hadith of Anas wa ghayrih, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي, that the best of the generation is my people. And from then is Abdullah ibn Umar, because of his adherence, and from the reasons is because of their adherence to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and their veneration and venerating the hadith of the Messenger, ta'zim, hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, venerating the narration of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amma al-hadith al-thani, the second hadith, وهو عن عبد الله بن مغفل رضي الله عنه, and that is in this hadith that he was sitting with his nephew, يعني أخ, ابن أخ له, his nephew, ابن أخ له, his nephew, and his nephew threw a stone, and he stopped him and said to him that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم prohibited one from doing this, and he said that that the Messenger, he gave him the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Inna la tasidu sayda, la tunki aduwa." It does not, this stone does not aid you in your hunting, and it does not harm the enemy, but rather it harms the individuals, or individuals, and it breaks the tooth, pulls out the tooth, and pulls out the eyes, or an eye. And then his nephew was said, and done it again. His nephew done it again. And he, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, said to him, "I'm telling you about the Messenger and what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which he prohibited, but yet you returned and you did this again. I'm never going to speak to you again. I'm never going to speak to you again." And there's narrations mentioned by some of the Salaf, that he didn't actually speak to his son again, showing the seriousness of the affair. Regarding this hadith, Ya Ikhwatil Kiram, we're going to mention again some benefits. Ifadat al-Ula and al-Amr al-Awwal is the manqiba from the manaqib of Abdullah ibn Mughaffal, another companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a virtue, and showing the high station of this companion, and his love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and venerating the sunnah ta'zim, hadithi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa taghlith man aradah, and showing how harsh and firm upon those that oppose it, showing the jealousy of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding his sunnah. The second benefit that we can take from this is that la darara wa la dirar, and that is that this legislation, this deen of al-Islam, is legislated for preserving the safety of individuals, and that which harms is prohibited. That which harms is prohibited. And in this hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an khadh, and he prohibited sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throwing pebbles. Why? Because of the harm that it can cause others. La darar wa la dirar. It's impermissible to harm others. It's impermissible to harm others. And that's what's extrapolated from this hadith. The third benefit of faida that we can take from this hadith is al-masalih or al-mafasid, and that is that we take consideration regarding the benefits and the harm. And that is that in this hadith, throwing pebbles may have had some fun that the individual will have and some enjoyment. But that which overwhelms the situation is the mafasid and the evil or bad results that can emanate from such actions, which is why the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited. And that is what we can take from this hadith. وَكَذَلِكَ like كَمَا هُوَ فِي حَدِيثِ الْأَوَّلِ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ كَذَلِكَ كَانَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ مُغَفَرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ شَدِيدًا عَلَى قَرِيبِهِ عَلَى ابْنِ أَخٍ لَهُ حِينَ أَظْهَرَ الْمُخَالَفَةَ السُّنَّةِ. When he رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ was harsh upon his family member, his nephew, his brother's son, he was harsh upon him regarding his opposition and doing that which is in opposition to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So in the khulasa is, ya ikhwati kiram, in the first hadith, in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, it was a statement. Therefore, the statement of Bilal ibn Abdullah ibn Umar was that which was in opposition to the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Abdullah ibn Umar was angry with him regarding that. As for the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mughafil, that is that the action of his nephew was in opposition to that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited. So in the first hadith is dealing with the aqwal, and in the second hadith is dealing with the a'mal, and this shows the proof that the statements that is in opposition to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one should deal harshly with regards to them and be firm regarding the one that opposes them. And likewise, the actions has the same treatment. The action has the same treatment. And it shows us the elevated station of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And that which brings us or comes to mind, ya ikhwati al-kiram, is that this, ya ikhwati al-kiram, these are narrations dealing with family members. And these are family members, those who are aqrab ilayk, those who are closest to you. But yet the companions were still showing, commanding the good and forbidding the evil. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas ta'muruna bil-ma'ruf tanhawna 'anil munkar tu'minuna billah, the best ummah, nation taken out of mankind, commanding the good and forbidding the evil, and having iman in Allah. This is the qaida, this commanding the good and forbidding the evil. And this is what we have witnessed here in these two narrations. So what about those individuals who do other than throwing stones? What about those individuals who do other than stopping the women from going to the masjid? What about those who innovate in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What about those who innovate in the tawheed of al-asma al-sifat? What about those who innovate as it relates to the masail of iman, the issues of iman, who say that iman does not go up, and iman does not go up and down, that iman is whole, one entity, la yataba'ad, it doesn't go up and down, la yataba'ad, it's just one entity. What about those who innovate as it relates to the salawat and innovate regarding some of the pillars and the conditions and the wajibat and the mustahibat as it relates to the salah and the a'mal of salah? What about those who oppose the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in tijara? What about those who oppose the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam as it relates to the affairs in the household? What about those who oppose the narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam by innovating in the deen and sitting with those people of innovation? What about those who oppose the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يُخَالِفُونَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَيَأْتِ بِغَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَفِي كِتَابِهِ وَكَذَلِكَ فِي سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَيَأْتِ بِغَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And they follow other than the way of the companions of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then we have narrations from the Sahaba and the shiddat taghlid ala haula, and the firmness and strictness that they had regarding these people. And then we have today, yes, subhanallah, Sheikh Ubaid himself, Hafidhullah Ta'ala mentioned in this chapter. We have people today, subhanAllah, when his bid'ah has been refuted, they're saying tafarraqu al-Muslimin. They make excuses for the person who's innovated. When somebody isn't opposing the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today people attack those who refute, those who oppose, and show mercy to those who people attack those who refute, those that oppose, and show mercy to those that oppose. And this is the affair of today, ya ikhwat al-kiram, which is why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, bada al-islam gharib ghariba wa sayaud ghariban kama bada tuba lil-ghuraba. Islam began as strange, and it will return strange as it began. Tuba, between Jannah, glad tidings to the ghuraba, those strange ones. And these are the strange ones, are the ones who are upon that which Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma was upon in this hadith. And likewise Abdullah ibn Mughafil. And this is an example of two of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or rather, we have narrations of the companions were all upon this. They were upon this, which is why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said regarding the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِمَاذَا أَخْتَارَهُمُ اللَّهُ لِصُحْبَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِأَنَّهُمْ أَبَرُّ قُلُوبَهُ لِأَنَّهُمْ أَبَرُّ قُلُوبَهُ. That they're the ones with the... Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be his companions? And that is because they were the most purest of hearts. They had the most purest of hearts. They were the ones who prayed at night and cried. Cried from fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for khushu' and humility. These are the individuals who were active as it relates to the ibadah, and they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon basira. But yes, at the same time, they were firm upon the sunnah and firm against those that opposed the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that, these two narrations, my dear beloved brothers, is all that we're going to take today as it relates to the muqaddimah of Sunan ibn Majah, rahimahullah ta'ala. And before I leave my dear beloved ikhwah, after isti'ana billahi tabaraka wa ta'ala, and seeking Allah's assistance and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge and action and to make us be from those who are sincere, I would like to discuss with my beloved ikhwa hunak and give advice to myself and likewise to my dear beloveds over there regarding the student of knowledge. And as we know, ya ikhwat al-kiram, we know that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, طَالِبُ عِلْمِ فَرِيدَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. The hadith which is in Jamil al-Ulum, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that seeking knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim, and that's Muslimah, and also includes a female Muslimah as well. So this seeking ilm is important and is obligatory upon us. But there are etiquettes and there are manners as it relates to this, from ikhlas, having ikhlas and sincerity in seeking this ilm. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ دِينَ. Worship Allah sincerely for His religion. And from the ashraf al-ibadah is seeking ilm. The most virtuous of worship is seeking ilm, seeking the knowledge. So we have to have ikhlas, ikhwat al-kiram. And we also have to have sidq. We have to have truthfulness in our seeking of ilm. And the sidq, as Ibn Qayyim, rahimullahu ta'ala, this is a'la daraja, or martaba, min al-ikhlas. It's a higher level of ikhlas. This sidq, yani sidq fi al-qawl, fi al-aqwal, sidq fi al-amal, na'am, you're truthful in your statements, truthful in your actions. This is the dalil of your ikhlas. This is the proof of your ikhlas, which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يقول يَا هِوَ الَّذِينَ آمُنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah, fear Allah and be from the truthful ones. Be truthful in your statements, truthful in our statements, truthful in our actions, And like this, that which incorporates this, Ya Ikhwat al-Kiram, is being truthful, sincere and truthful in our seeking of ilm. Truly seeking this ilm for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this should be shown on our methodology of seeking our ilm, on how we carry on and we carry ourselves in seeking this ilm. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصدق طمأنينة والكذب ريبة. That truthfulness is tumanina. Truthfulness is tranquility, serenity, tumanina. Truthfulness. And that includes all types of truthfulness from the tongue and from the actions. And also seeking ilm. So the individual who seeks ilm and is truthful in seeking this ilm, he will taste the sweetness of this this knowledge, this wahi, this revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to mankind. Subhana. And also, my dear beloved brothers, from the sifat and characteristics of a talib ilm is that he's mutawadi'. Man tawadi' lillah rafa'ahu. Whoever shows humility for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will raise him. And this again shows the sidq of the individual that he has tawadi' regarding that ilm. He's given the ilm, the knowledge that he's learning, the rights of the ilm, and from that is being mutawadi' and having izzah at the same time. And being mutawadi' and being firm upon their knowledge. As is the example from Abdullah ibn Umar and Abdullah ibn Mughaffir radiyallahu anhum. They were firm regarding the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that does not negate their tawadu'. But their tawadu' is an example that we find from our salaf, from the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man rawa al-sahabi aladhi rawa an al-sahabi al-akhar. The companion that narrates a narration from the companion from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's a chapter in the ilm al-hadith. Naam. And we have the elder tabi'i narrating from this younger tabi'i. And we have Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, huwa shaykhu shuyukhu ulama al-hadith. And from his students is Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullahu ta'ala. Imam al-Tirmidhi is from the students of al-Bukhari, Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala. But also Bukhari is a student of Tirmidhi. أَخَذَ عَنْهُ حَدِيثًا. He narrated one hadith, an isnad, from Tirmidhi, rahimahullah ta'ala. And this is Imam al-Bukhari. أَعْلَمْ مِنْ تِرْمِذِي أَحْفَظْ مِنْ تِرْمِذِي أَشْهُرْ مِنْ تِرْمِذِي أَضْبَطْ مِنْ تِرْمِذِي. Stronger than Tirmidhi in ilm al-hadith, stronger in Tirmidhi in memorization, has a bigger manzila in the tariq of ilm al-hadith than Tirmidhi. But yet he took knowledge from Tirmidhi, his student. And we have the companion, some of the salaf, like Atta' ibn Rabah, rahimahullah ta'ala. They were poor individual slaves, but Allah raised them because of their tawadu. He's an imam from the fuqa of Mecca after Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And from his students is Ibn Juraij, whose lineage goes back to Italy. And his Ibn Juraij's ancestors were Mamluk. They were slaves from Italy. And Ibn Juraij rahimahullah ta'ala was a student of Atta' ibn Rabah, Muhaddith. رفعهم الله تبارك وتعالى تواضعهم. Allah raised them because of their humility and given the rights of ilm, given the rights of this knowledge that Allah has blessed them with. So we find, Ya Ikhwatil, and also Nafi' rahimahullah ta'ala, Nafi' who was the slave, the khadim of Abdullah ibn Umar. And Nafi is from the Muhaddithin, and he was from the Silsilat al-Dhahabiyya. He's from that chain of narration, which is considered the golden chain. The golden chain. with Malik Nafi, and Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'anhu. Silsil al-Dahabi, the golden chain, the one as some of the ulama, and from them is al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, if I remember correctly. So this is the Ahfad Hadith and Abdullah ibn Umar. More than his son Salim. Salim, rahimahullah ta'ala, was the son of Abdullah ibn Umar and the brother of Bilal that we mentioned in this hadith today. He narrated on his father. But the slave, the khadim, the servant, Nafi, was Ahfaz and Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Rafa'ahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah is adil. Allah is adil, Allah is fair. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal hakim. All wise. And he gave him this manzila because of his tawadu. رفعه الله سبحانه وتعالى من تواضع لله رفعه. So from the manners of the student of knowledge is that we have to humble ourselves. We learn a bit of Arabic. We finish book one, book two, book three. We done Ajrumiyya, we done Mutimma, we done Qatr Nada. Read a few pages of Alfiyya. That doesn't mean that you've had you went to Wasalt. We have to humble ourselves, otherwise we have the hurman of this ilm. It will be made, there will be a veil in front of us and attaining this knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the salaf, one of the salaf men, لَا يُؤْتِ الْعِلْمُ لِلْعَاصِي. This is the nur. لَا يُؤْتِ نُورُهُ لِلْعَاصِي. This is nur, this knowledge is nur. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud mentioned, يُقْذَبُ فِي قُلُوبِ النَّاسِ. That is this ilm is nur that is placed in the hearts, and it's not given to the asi. And one of the sins to the sinner, it's not given to the sinner. The light of Allah, which is knowledge, is not given to the sinner. From sins has been arrogant. And what does arrogant mean? Arrogance means kibr. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al kibru, batrul haq wa ghamt al nas. That arrogance, yes, is rejecting the truth. When hadith comes to you, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to you, you reject it. This is kibr, this is arrogance. Arrogance is not having a lot of money. La, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, batrul haq, rejecting the truth, ghamtun nas, and looking down on the people. So from the manners of the talib al-ilm is not that is that you do not look down on others. If Allah has given you a favor from being from those who have attained the Arabic language or giving you some ilm, this should not lead one to become arrogant, ghamt al-nas, looking down on the people. And the example of humility of some of our ulama is that you find the likes of Shaykh Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali hafidhullah ta'ala, and the likes of Shaykh Ubaid al-Jabri hafidhullah ta'ala, like Shaykh Muhammad ibn Hadi. Shaykh, you bring them the tulab, who are the mashaykh are sometimes three times older than them. The tulab will bring some fa'idah, and the shaykh will write it down, and the shaykh will listen and benefit. Shaykh Ubaid al-Jabri, hafidhullah ta'ala, you sit with him and you mention fawaid that he's got, he's received from Shaykh Muhammad ibn Hadi. And he is Shaykh Muhammad ibn Hadi's elder. Hafidhahumullah ta'ala. Because it's about ilm, tawadu. Giving the ilm its rights. You find Shaykh Muhammad ibn Hadi, hafidhullah ta'ala, sitting in some lectures of other mashaykh, other ashyakh. وَهُوَ لَعَلَهُ أَحْفَظْ مِنْهُمْ. Because Shaykh Muhammad ibn Hadi maybe his memory is stronger than them. Hafidhullah ta'ala. Shaykh Muhammad's memory is qawi. Allahumma barak. But yet that does not, if you see and you sit in his lessons, mutawadi, Allah yazidhu fi khayr. ومن فضله وأحسبه كذلك This is the ulama, and we have to take examples and follow the examples of the ulama in their humility and so in their humbleness. They're being humble and showing humility as it relates to that ilm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Because Allah does not give the ilm, that nur, to an aasi. That nur, that light is not going to be given to a sinner. And from sinning is arrogance. And from sinning is looking at that which you're not supposed to look at. And from sinning is lying. And from sinning is ghish. And from sinning is not respecting your elders. And from sinning is not respecting and being dutiful to your parents. And from sinning is oppressing your wives. And from sinning is not obeying your husband. Allah does not give knowledge, this nur. لَا يُطِي نُورَهُ لِلْعَاصِ. He's not going to give his light, this ilm, to a sinner. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَتَتَّبِي خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. لَتَتَّبِي خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not follow the full footsteps of shaitan. Be careful of the talbis of Iblis. The deception of the grand deceptor or deceiver, Iblis. May Allah protect us from him and his junudi. The talbis from the talbisat of Iblis is if there is a halaqat or a dars that is going on, we choose to go somewhere else, so we don't let the person who is teaching see us sitting in his class. Or we go somewhere else because we think that maybe I know this already. And we go somewhere else and stand outside of the masjid or stand outside of the hall or wherever, the dawra or ilmi or any the place where the ilm is being disseminated, because we feel that, you know what, let me just catch a bit of joke with my friends. This is from the talbis of Iblis. You're missing out on benefit. And if you knew already, it's a reminder and it keeps your knowledge firm. So we have to have this tawadu and humility and be humble as it relates to this ilm. La ya ikhwa. Your miskin brother now talking to you is doing this for himself fundamentally, so he can increase himself in knowledge and also benefit from that which he is reading, and he's just sharing this with you. And likewise, any other brother, inshallah, that will sit in front of you in your masjid, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, is for him to revise that which he has learned, whether it's a little, and to share with his brothers. So we have to be humble. Ahl sunnah are aqilla. The people of the sunnah are few. The durus of the sunnah in London are not a lot. And that one, the ones that we do have, we have to grab it and be from the shakirin. So Allah may increase us. And this, my dear beloved brothers, is an advice to myself. And from what we see from the ulama is that they are humble and they sit and benefit from each other. As one of the author or statement from one of the salaf, if I remember carefully, is that the person who is benefiting from their knowledge, يَأْخُذْ مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقَهُ وَمَنْ هُوَ دُونَهُ or كَمَا قَالْ. He takes from those who are more knowledgeable than him, and also takes from those who are less than him in knowledge, according to his tasawwur. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah, beloved. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us be from those who are humble, mukhlis, sadiq, truthful, show humility, free from arrogance, betrul haq, waghamt al-nas, rejecting the truth, and looking down on the people, and get ready for this aim that we're seeking, and racing to the maghfirah of Allah. Sari'u ya ikhwati. Race to the maghfirah of your Rabb. Raise to the forgiveness of your Lord. Raise to this ilm. Seek this ilm with ikhlas and sidq. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq, that this ilm becomes applied in our limbs, gets applied in our hearts, in our aqidah, is applied in our tongues, in our speech. Man yu'nu billah wal yawmil akhir falyakul khayran aw liyasmut. The one who believes in Allah and has iman in Allah and hereafter, then let him speak good or remain silent. The person whose ilm benefits them is that which they speak is only good, and if there is something that is not beneficial, they be quiet. فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ يَصْمُتْ. Speak well or speak good, and that is that which is according to the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he remains silent. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq in that regard, and to emanate that which we've learned today from the examples of the likes of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, and Abdullah ibn Ghafir, Imam Ghafir radiyallahu anhu, and that we be firm upon the sunnah, venerating the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and increase in knowledge, and the etiquettes of seeking knowledge is exemplified in our actions. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.